Well, it was 250th yesterday. And again, just want to open it up if anybody's got something they'd like to share with their thoughts about where we've come from and where we're going. Anybody got maybe a prophetic word from the Spirit of God of what we can look forward to? 250 years is a long time, isn't it? I think depending on how you define democracy and all that, but the UK is probably the longest running so-called democracy. We're in there that kind of like almost number two. Most historians say it won't last longer than that. But it's like what Jenna was saying. It's like, it's funny how easy it is for somebody to give a statistic or give an opinion, and we just fall in line with it. Oh, sure, it's in my family. Well, yeah, well, everybody's doing it, you know. And yet here's the Word of God so often that comes to us, and we ought to just fall in line with it. We're going from victory to victory, faith to faith. So anybody got a thought that they want to share or a testimony or just a whatever? Sturgis looked like a war zone last night. It was awesome. Man, I was just driving around, and man, my truck was shaking every time one would go off. And they got a lot bigger toys than when we were young, I tell you. Like bombs, yeah. We had those little M80s that were take your hand off, but then not much else. But any thoughts, Nathaniel?
So I just finished reading a book called 18 Days in Heaven, and that book has changed my life. A boy that died, they brought him back. He was on life support, but for 18 days in our time. Anyway, we've talked about words and what we speak. And I'm going to take the upside and assume it was just fruit of what I've been talking. But I always knew that my words were important. I just didn't realize how important. I just wanted to encourage, watch words like "it's killing me." You know, it says in humor, but it has an impact. So the testimony that I have is that as Alice and I have been working our office together, I've been, thank you, Jesus, for so many people a week, you know. Well, when I got revelation of this mentality, I've been, instead of going that way, I've been saying, we're going to have a full schedule today. And for 3 days in a row, we had a full schedule.
Awesome. Anybody else? Don't get the spirit slap on me. You sure? It's really fun to think about the angels right now gathered in this room. You know, and I just believe everybody's got at least one angel who follows you and gives a report to God all the time. And by the way, one angel can do an awful lot. The Old Testament said that one angel killed 180,000 people in one day. And then there was angels that led, Moses and all that. But anyway, if you just think about it, and people try to get maybe, I don't know, we're people are so captivated with the unknown and like witchcraft and those kind of things. But when it comes to the spiritual kingdom, sometimes it seems like believers have a hard time wanting to be bold about believing about the spiritual realm that they believe about. But if angels are about us all the time, that means they're here. And so what are they doing? And I like to, and a lot of times I do in the spiritual realm, I'll see angels. A lot of times they're they're up there and everywhere. But I just see them with anticipation, looking to see what we're going to say and what they can do with it. If I was an angel and God had commissioned me to be a minister to the saints that have been chosen, I'd be waiting just for the word to release me to go do it. And so by acknowledging those things, it makes them more effective. Praise God. Anybody else? Nobody's got a prophetic word like Trump's going to run 3 more times? Sorry. Anybody going to Mount Rushmore? You guys there?
We went near there. We were by the tunnel there.
Oh, just waved to him, did you? How many of you waved to you as a plane went by? How many saw the plane? Got some great pictures.
I don't know if this is a prophetic word really, but last night we spent a little time like watching a video, a documentary, and they were talking about George Washington and how he just had such a, like how many times he should have died in different things. And there was one more, he would be so much better to talk about all this, but there was one more that they went after some of the Native Americans, and the Native Americans ended up surrounding all of them, and they picked off like all of the officers, all of the British officers, they picked all of them off. And they were purposely doing that, like, okay, we're taking out all the leaders, obviously. Take out all the leaders, cause chaos, right? So they were taking out all the leaders, and so George Washington was left, and all these guys, like the leader of the Native Americans, he was like, okay, no matter what, you get him. And he was like, our aim was perfect. We knew exactly what we were going to do, and we could not take him out. And so, like, they could pick off whoever they wanted, and their goal was, that's our target. And yet, no matter what, it was like he had bullets in his hat and through his jacket and whatever, but they could not take him out. And so later on, George Washington came back, and this native chief was like, I have to meet with this guy, you know? And so he and all his guys got and met with him, and they were telling him this face to face, like, we did everything we could to take you out. And we just couldn't do it. And he's like, so now I have a prophecy for you. And he prophesied that George Washington would lead a new nation, and da da da. And it was like, oh my goodness, like, just the providence and, you know, God's plan that went forth to even have America in existence today. And yet at the same time, and looking back into our biblical history of everything that God did through, you know, people that believed and trusted him. And so it's like, guys, what do we have to be afraid of? You know, our future is awesome, and our numbers doesn't matter. You plus God is majority, even if it is just you, right? Because your angel could take out an entire army. And we've seen it time and time and time again in the Word with anyone who just trusted him. You know, he could make a whole army go blind, and you can lead that army to another city. I mean, he has got us, and our angels, they've got us. We have nothing to be afraid of. We've got a great future.
Amen, amen, amen. So America, as much as I love America and all that, I'll just go on. God told the Israelites be a blessing to all nations. He told Abraham, you're going to be a blessing to all nations. They didn't do a very good job of that most of the time. Most of the time they were arrogant, selfish, conceited, and insecure. Even up to the time of Christ. They just wanted Jesus to defeat everybody and they wanted to be the winners. But they were supposed to be the leaders of the world to bless the nations. And America, they haven't been all righteous people that led us. There haven't been righteous decisions. There have been horrible things that we've done. But overall, America has blessed the nations. And as I travel, and you got to understand also, the media for a long time, I'm not talking about just the last decade, I'm talking about 40 years ago when I was going, the media was pumping some of the worst stuff about America into all the nations. Russia was getting, the only thing they got on when TV started coming out was, what was it, MTV or MT? Anyway, it was like our raunchiest movies that we've ever made. That's the only thing that was being shipped in to these other countries. So a lot of times when American missionaries would come there, they said, man, are all your people perverted? And no. But even with that media and the spirit of the Antichrist trying to present things only in a negative way, every nation I've gone to, they pray for America. In fact, they Burmese, Vietnamese, they pray more for Americans than probably Americans pray for Americans. And there's some of them that I know that if one prophetic woman from Burma, she's the Spirit of God said, fly to D.C. and go there and pray every day at the Capitol. And she did that for several years. I think she finally went home. So I'm just saying, we've had a huge impact in all these years. UK has probably sent out more missionaries over a period of time. I mean, they have, but we're running about second. It doesn't really matter. It just, you know, and you think about what they consider missionaries a lot of time. When UK was trying to conquer the world, they sent out missionaries, and same with Spain. But sometimes it was more political than it was spiritual. But I can tell you that America's had a huge impact on the kingdom of God. And now we're seeing nations have a huge impact on America. They're praying for us. They're coming and ministering to us. They've sent missionaries to us now. But where do we go from here? What Jenna just said is really powerful. What if all your words in the past came to pass? There'd be a lot of us that say, oh boy, I hope not everything comes to pass. You know, but there'd also be things of say, yes, we've been saying this for a long time. We've been saying no evil befalls us, no plague comes near our tent for a long time, over and over, daily. Those things begin to prevail in our life. And it is a spiritual warfare that we're involved in. One of the things, again, that I love about what God has asked us to do in our preaching and teaching is just to reassure people all the time that the Spirit of God is talking to them personally. You know, when you want to control people, you do not tell that to people. If you want to control your kid, you don't tell them, you're going to have to make your decisions and we'll back you up and God is helping you. If you want to control them, you put fear into them. And then you put them into this thing of you got to obey whoever, you know, whatever your teacher tells you. You got to, you know, my brother and I and sisters, we talk about sometimes we were brought up, you know, in that culture of just whatever they tell you to do, whatever a doctor tells you, whatever a teacher, whatever a policeman. And listen, you know, in general terms, give honor to whom honor is due. But God has always said, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. When you trust in mankind, it's bad news. Well, I think I could trust this guy. No, 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 no. He didn't say trust in a few good people. He said those who trust in mankind will be cursed. Well, how does that work? You're just constantly trusting in the Lord to communicate with you. And he works through people. That's where, you know, you're not rebellious. You don't, it's not like you don't listen to your doctor, your attorney, or your pastor, or whatever else. But bottom line is you got to decide what God is saying to you and take that responsibility. And you can say, I'm too scared to do that. I'm going to let somebody else decide for me. But in the spiritual realm, that's illegal. It's not possible. You won't get to heaven and say, you know, I would have obeyed you, God, but, you know, my brother-in-law said that I shouldn't do that. And he was so convincing. It won't stand. It won't stand. He'll say, yeah, but what did I say to you? And so one of the things that I love is that we're nonstop sharing with these kids, and they're believing it. That's why I'm so hopeful. They're actually believing that they hear from God. And you think, well, what if they make a mistake? Well, they are. So am I. You know, I've been married 48 years. Slap my gut. It does my calculations. But 48 years. And communication is one of the toughest things Elise and I have to deal with. I mean, you think, no, that's a very clear, I communicated that really clear, and it's not clear at all. I remember one time we were going to a Christmas party in Rapid City. Lisa had to get something at the mall when the mall was going, and I said, I'll pick you up at the front door. I waited, and after 30 minutes, we're late for the party, and, you know, didn't have cell phones then. But her front door and my front door were two different doors. So she's waiting on me, and I'm waiting on her. By the time we got together, it wasn't really fun. It wasn't like, oh, boy, we're together again. We get to go to the party. It's like, well, where were you? I'm just saying, in any communication, it's difficult. Amen. And sometimes the worst thing is when you think you actually did communicate. And so I'm just saying, in your walk with the Lord, He is perfect. We are not. And there's times we're going to miss it. But it's like it's a growing process. Just stay with it. You know, one thing I say for Elise and I is we don't give up. We'll get irritated, but we don't give up. That wasn't an option for us. And so it makes it a lot better. When you just say, I'm not giving up, I know the Lord leads me. Period. Well, what about, what about it? He delivers us out of them all. Even when you make a mistake, He delivers you. I've shared this before, but here's Jesus going to the cross, the biggest thing He's ever going to do. I mean, the biggest thing, the most powerful thing that ever happened on the face of the earth in creation. And in the middle of that, Peter cuts off this guy's ear. And that was a death sentence for Peter. It was the high priest's right-hand man. He's like the executor of whatever the priest wanted done. He had tremendous authority. And so legally, righteously, Peter should have been killed. And what did Jesus do? He's on the way to the cross. He's got the biggest mission he's ever done. And what's he doing? He goes, stop it. And he stops what? The whole process of going to the cross. He stops everything. He stops everything, reaches over, grabs the ear, and puts it up on the guy and heals his ear. Legally, Peter still should have been killed. But Jesus fixes that, steps back, say, okay, carry on. And the Lord told me, He says, if you think I don't have time or power or desire to fix your mistakes, Peter made a mistake. Jesus stopped everything to fix it. Think about that when you've made a mistake. But just to have the confidence. We say God leads us and all that, but then we're always saying, boy, I hope I'm hearing Him. Oh, I don't know for sure. We're only human. We, you know, again, all these things we say. And it's not, don't get arrogant. humble yourself when you make it. But there's times that I thought I heard from the Lord and it did not turn out right. And in my mind, I was thinking, boy, I missed it there. And then 6 months, a year later, events happen. And I go, oh my gosh, it was right. It was right. It brought some zigzagging in my life, but I did hear from him. Hold your confidence. And you're going to gain so much clearer communication when you hold your confidence that you're hearing from him. I think it's in Jeremiah, God gets so irritated that he says, I'm going to take these people out, and nobody's going to talk me out of it. And they basically say, what's made you so mad? He said, you don't listen to me. So that means buck up, use your faith. I'm going to share a few scriptures here. Romans 8 says this, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These young people that get born again, guess what? They're sons of God. Immediately. They're the saints. Immediately. We are saints. We are the holy ones. We are the ones born of the Spirit. And it says, those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, on which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children again. Again, Celia Camp, one of the things I see is we didn't see kids just weeping and crying. When I went to camps a lot of time, we were weeping and crying because we'd yell at our mother, and some of us were smoking cigarettes, not me. But, and we repent from those things. That's not what happens in our camps. What happens in our camp is they believe the gospel that God loves them and that God is speaking to them. It's a whole different story. And they cry out, Abba, Father. Romans 6:1 says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and this was our theme for Cedar Camp. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. The righteous, you live by faith. You live by faith. Everything you do is by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And love, faith worketh by love. So you got to bring that in. But we live by faith. In other words, your future and everything concerning you is going to be according to your faith, according to what you're persuaded about, according to what you keep listening to and let permeate your heart. And as we talked about before, and those seeds begin to grow. And that's why we can say, yes, my family has this in it. Yes, this is what our country's doing. But as for me, I will serve the Lord. And as for me, I'm led by His Spirit. And as for me, He's taken all my sicknesses, all my diseases. He delivers me from all my troubles. As for me, that's my faith. That's where I walk. Ephesians 6:9 says this, and masters, he's talking about slaves and masters, do the same things to them. He's just telling the servants, he said, the slaves. And, truthfully, we could actually say today, employees, serve your bosses. I mean, this slave thing has been exaggerated to the max in the world right now and just into stupidity. But in all reality, slaves were around all the time, but in a lot of ways, they were nothing more less than employees. That's how they lived at back then. And a tremendous amount of them had really great relationships with their bosses. And a lot of them chose to remain slaves because they loved their boss and loved serving him. So, but anyway, that's another story. And masters, do the same to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. The key there is we rate people in their positions in life. But God says, I don't see it that way. There is no partiality. All through the years, as God would lead me and give me words for people or whatever else, somebody would come and just say, give me a word, it bothered me because it's like, listen, if God gives me something to give to you, I'll do that. But your attitude of coming to me to try to hear what God wants to say to you is wrong. Go to him. Don't come to me. If I get something, you know, and you can ask, Pastor, you got any word for me? I'll give it to you if I got it. But here's the premise. The best way and the main way that you're going to walk is to hear from him personally. And he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't, I'll pick the more spiritual person out and have him talk to everybody in church. No. He wants, and you know what's lovely is our young people, man, we got a whole crowd of you supporting these young people saying, you hear from God. That's God. That's powerful. Ephesians says this, and he came to preach peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. We all have the access to the Father through the Spirit. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household. Yeah, I love America. But my citizenship is with the saints. My first citizenship is with the saints. And the saints are all over the world. And that's our family. That's our nation. And they're not, he's saying with all the saints, it means the saints in heaven, the saints on earth, and the saints that are coming. That's who we belong to. That's our group. That's our foundation. Nations will come and go. I believe you ought to pray for the nation you're in. I believe the Germans ought to pray for Germany. I believe you ought to pray for the city that you're in. Pray for the welfare of it while you're there because it's going to well be good for you. I believe in taking care of those that are around me. But bottom line is we are children of God and the saints past, present, and future. Is who we belong to. And that's the group that lasts for eternity. Amen? That's why it's worth staying focused, not on saving a nation, but on building the kingdom of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Everybody's part is important. Everybody's part is actually critical. No matter how great or how small it looks to you and me, everybody's part is critical. What's cool about Selah is just, you know, one of the things, it's a super neat thing to see the Spirit of God moving to young people. But the other side is, it's super cool to see the body of Christ get to do what they were called to do. Brody played for the first time in front of people with his guitar. And I go, I remember when Tyrell first started. Anybody remember that? A little insecure. And Mike Mokin put his arm around him and blessed him. And it was incredible to me when Brody got up there, how Tyrell took Brody under his wing, comforted him, encouraged him, and we just see it growing. We're being built into this holy temple of the Spirit of God all around the world. Whether you know the people in Singapore, or you know anybody, you know, whether you know them or not, and I know a few more than you do. But it doesn't matter. They're still your brothers and sisters. They're still your, that's who you belong to. That's who they belong to you. And every one of our little parts affects everything. They say in a human cell, there's 100,000 things that have to take place every second. And if one of them fails, that cell fails. It's the most scary thing I think I ever saw in science. It is so complicated. How many of you know anything that works perfect every time? And you take a mouse trap, the old flip type. For the most part, everything on there except the printing on the board, remove one part and that mouse trap fails. we're being built to be the temple of Jesus. And every one of us, no matter how small we think we are, no matter how insignificant we think what our, I believe it is critical. And Paul actually said this, and for the most part, what we highly esteem, he doesn't always highly esteem. In other words, most likely everything that you and I think in evaluating other people is wrong. We don't see the big picture. And therefore, we can't understand the details. But what we can do is trust the Lord and do exactly what he tells us to do the best that we can. And what's that take? First of all, it takes faith to believe that he's talking to you. That's the first step. You got to just keep believing that. So my sister sent me a word a couple weeks ago in the situation. It's out of Exodus 14, 14. This is when the children of Israel are heading out of Egypt. And then Pharaoh changes his mind again and comes after him. So most of you know the story. But I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. It says, "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. But I'm scared.'" You ever been there? You hear the word, "Do not fear," but you go, "Dang it, I'm scared." I tell you what, John Williamson is one of the biggest chickens you're ever going to meet in your life. No brag, just fact. But I have made a decision a long time ago, and I haven't wavered. I belong to you. And whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. But you have to give me the grace, because I haven't got anything to give you. If you don't give me the grace, I ain't got it. But my walk is nonstop relationship with him, and yours is too. And I always need to hear this word: do not fear. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." That's a good word. Because when I get scared, or in some, well, maybe not me, but for some of you, when you get scared, you just start talking. One quick little story. When my wife, when Lisa and I were first married, we went to California to stand up with a friend of mine, Bill Reed. And by the way, we were broke. It took us, we had to borrow everything to get there. Anyway, one of the things we got to do while we were there is go to Alcatraz. And I loved it. But they're going to put about 10 of us into the cell, what do they call that cell? Or just solitary. So solitary cell was made out of about 1.5 inches, I think, if I remember right, steel. It wasn't so they couldn't dig out of it or chop out of it. It was for the fact that you could never warm it up. They put them in that cell, and they had to have a light legally in it, but they didn't have to have it on. So the cells could be completely dark. And if you've ever been in completely dark, you know that your mind can go insane within minutes. But here's the deal. You'd be thrown into solitary sometimes for months. And the only way most of them could sleep is be on their elbows and their knees, because that steel would just chill their body down if they laid on it in any other way. So what they did, they said, "Listen, we're going to throw a few of you in there, and then we're going to slam the door like we would if you were there." The slamming of a jail cell door is a very distinct sound. And they just said, "Do the best you can, just to sit and just stand there in silence and feel what it might feel like to be a prisoner to get stuck in there for months." man, I was thinking, this is cool. This is really cool because I know I can get out. So I wanted to feel that. I wanted to feel it. I wanted to feel the fear. I wanted to feel it. And when that door slammed, my heart slammed. The unfortunate thing was somebody really interrupted everything I wanted to feel, because they just automatically, all of them just start talking as fast as they could. Man, when that thing slammed, they were just freaking out, man, and they just blah, blah, blah. And there's times when God says, do not fear. He doesn't always say this. But in this particular time, he said, Moses says, do not fear. Keep silent and he'll deliver you. There is a place sometimes where you just need to shut the mouth off and trust him. But this part I want to go to. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Why are you crying out to me? He's talking to Moses. God is talking to Moses. Why are you crying out to me? And for the life of me, I don't know what he meant. I'm not sure what he means. It doesn't really show us in that portion that Moses was crying out to God. He wasn't, hey, oh God, he might have been. The good chance it just wasn't written in the scriptures. But anyway, I just think it's fun to think about that God is leading, he's taking over. He says, I'm gonna deliver you from a huge thing in one moment right here. But then he says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Now, Enrico read some scriptures today that I'll cry out to the Lord. But in this particular situation, it appears that God is saying to Moses, what are you doing crying out to me? There's a place to not cry out. There's a place where the peace of God is inside of you. Your faith is on the line and you're silent because you know the Lord will fight for you. But this is what I love. This is the word for us today. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons. It goes on of Israel, but I'm going to say, tell the sons of the kingdom to go forward. To go forward. 250 years. Bam. Good, bad, ugly, everything else. What's the word for us? Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. So the provision of God, as you know, the waters didn't part till they stepped into them. They kept their mouth shut, trusted in him. And we are going forward. Don't know everything that's going to take place. Don't need to know. But we are going forward. Amen. Not backing off. Father, thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that by your grace we hear you. And that's our confidence. And I believe you're speaking to us today, right here, right now. And for many of us, individually, right now, right here, you're speaking a word to us. You're speaking to some who are fighting some sicknesses, some diseases, some fighting financial issues, some fighting relationship issues, some just fighting an inner conflict in themselves of fear, anxiety, and worry. And you're speaking to us right now. Go forward. Go forward. Step out and go forward. And then you're also speaking to us as a body. We've had wonderful, wonderful years of being together, growing together, seeing people come to you, seeing people get healed, seeing people change their lives. We've seen so many young people that are now leaders, and some of them are 50 years old now, or 60, and it's just awesome. Lord, we can just, if the door shut today, we'd have to say, what a great ride. What a great time we had. But it is not over. And we are, as a body, hearing your voice, and we're stepping forward. We're going forward. The past is in the past, and today we are the sons of God, and we hear your voice. And you always, somebody say always, always lead us in triumph. Always. And we give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory. And we give you our deepest love and appreciation, because we know to whom we belong. Amen. So be it. God bless. Wherever you're at, what's ever going on, go forward.